However, the Lord is faithful. The Lord provides. The Lord will give us what we need in our life and our heart every day and for every circumstance. This morning, the Psalms, were where we're going to be, Psalms number 55. And the Psalms 55 is the story of a man who is pouring his heart out to the Lord. A man who has suffered a broken heart. Have you ever suffered a broken heart? And when I talk about a broken heart, I realize that there's varying degrees. You may have a broken heart that the promotion that you expected didn't go your way. You may have a broken heart that something in your life that you thought was an absolute assurity just simply wasn't there the way you expected. A big disappointment. That's some examples of a broken heart, but a broken heart can also be as severe as what we're going to read about in these passages in the Psalms 55. For this man, David, that was writing these Psalms, had suffered a broken heart, perhaps of the worst kind. It was a broken heart where there was betrayal, there was abuse. There was the constant harassment. There was the disappointments of life. All of this had come upon him, and it wasn't just simply because of other people. Some of these disappointments, some of this broken heart, he had contributed to even earlier in his own life, his own sinful action, and then many years later, that sinful action had manifested itself through his family and to those who were near him, and his whole kingship was at stake. Now, David was a man of repentance. David was a man who had saw his mistake. He had saw his sin. He had saw his actions. And he had cried and poured his heart out into the Lord. And David had made things right between him and God. But the effect and the results of his own sin had carried on into his family and into his kingdom and into those who are around him. So this morning, the title message is the ABCs, the abuse, the betrayal, the constant harassment of a broken heart. I'd like to ask that if you stand with me, we're going to read the Psalms 55, 1 through 7. And here in the Psalms 55, 1 through 7, let's read this together. And I want you, as you read this, to try to put yourself in the place of this man who is crying out to God with this more than disappointment, with this broken heart. The 55th Psalms, verses 1 through 7. Verse number 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, our prayer is that you would take these words recorded here in the heart of David, and that you would turn these words into a victory of our own life. May we cling to you, Lord. May our eyes be opened through this passage of Scripture of your ultimate wonderful plan and the victorious life that you can bring in the midst of disappointment and heartache. Have your way in the life and the hearts of each one here this morning. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. While we read these first seven verses, and these first seven verses is the heart of a man who is crying out to the Lord with the most severe circumstances that anyone could think of. The remainder of chapter 55 that we haven't read yet is where he finds his hope, his strength, his solace, where he finds the strength to get up in the morning, where he finds the hope to move forward into the next day, where he finds the future to be okay compared to the way it was in the first seven verses of these chapters, of this verses. So what could have happened to cause a man like David? You know David, a man after God's own heart. You know David, the one who fought the giant. You know David, the one who was Israel's first king, at least the first king appointed and acknowledged by God. What could have happened in the life of a man with such great stature to cause him to now lament in fear, with horror in his heart, with disappointment, to where he would cry out and he would say, I wish I was a dove and I could just escape from this place. Have you ever been at a time in your life where you just wished you could escape and get out of here? Check out on the world. Leave everything behind. To have yourself so alone and isolated that you would feel as if the world was a better place without you. That's a little bit of what David was going through. A disappointment, a heartache. It's not a small issue. It was traumatic. It changed his life. And to make it worse for David, some of the things that was coming his way, he knew was coming his way because of his past. It's not always that way. Sometimes the Lord allows things into our life that we had absolutely no control over and we had no part of it. The Lord allowed it. However, there are times in our lives where we look back and we say, you know, I knew when I chose this path, I knew what the possible outcome could be. That's David's circumstance. David knew that when he became king and that he had the empire and the world at his fingertips, everything that he wanted, he knew that when he looked upon this lady of Bathsheba, this lady named Bathsheba, and he desired her, he lusted for her, and there he reached out and he made a plan. He plotted a plot of abuse and betrayal and even harassment to the point of where Bathsheba's husband was sent out to war and killed at the hands of the order of David. And it was David who had taken her through his lustful action, and he brought himself to her, and it was there he committed sin. You see, David, in as bad of sin as he was involved in, he knew that this had a part of this action. This prayer that's recorded in the Psalms 55 comes from the background of 2 Samuel chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And while I'm not going to read those passages of Scripture, I just want to tell you a little bit about the background. Because in those chapters in Samuel, it's recorded of some of David's children and one of David's top advisors. In this 2 Samuel chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, we are introduced to a man named Ammon. You may remember Ammon. He was the oldest son of David. He was the strongest. He was the one who was hopefully going to inherit the kingdom. He was the one that had everything in life. But Ammon had a real problem in his own life. Ammon had fallen in love, at least not the kind of love that says, I want to commit myself to you, but the kind of lustful love. He had fallen for his half-sister, Tamar. Tamar was also David's daughter from another wife. So you have Ammon, his oldest son, who has lustfully fallen for Tamar, his half-sister. And because of this lustfulness that was growing in the heart of Ammon, he devised a plan. He devised a plan that a friend had suggested to him. A friend suggested, why don't you go in and pretend as if you're sick and call for Tamar, your favorite sister, and she will be quick to come to you, for she was of pure heart. She was described as a virtuous young woman, pureness of heart, perhaps a bit of innocence. And that's exactly what Ammon did. He devised a plot that he would pretend to be sick. So sick that he was nearly to death, but it was fake. It wasn't real. It was just a plan that was hatched in the evilness of his heart, in the evilness of his mind. So he goes through with his plan. He pretends to be sick, and he calls for his favorite sister, Tamar. Only you, Tamar, can come and comfort me. Only you can make me feel better. Only you can care for me. And Tamar falls for the bait. Perhaps a bit of the naivety that she was the youngest, looking up to the older brother. Perhaps she was doing it out of care and love for her father, for this was his oldest son. And Tamar prepares the food, and she comes into where Ammon is at, and there he sends all the servants away. He clears the room so that he's alone with his half-sister, and it's there that his devilish plan begins. For he shuts the door, and as she's close to him, he begins to pull her into his own bed. She resists and she fights, but he continues on until the point had come where there was no return and Ammon had taken his half-sister and assaulted her, abused her, taken advantage of her. The sin was great. The lies were greater. Everything that he had built upon was from the evilness of his heart. There was another brother, Absalom. Absalom and Tamar were not just half brothers and sisters, they were full brothers and sisters. And Absalom had a special love for his sister, but it was the brotherly love, it was the protective love. And he was so angry when he found out what Ammon had done that Absalom plotted and carried out the plot and murdered his brother Ammon. Perhaps you would say, well, he deserved it. And we can't disagree with that, perhaps. Humanly speaking, perhaps he did. But it was Absalom who carried out that murderous plot to kill his brother as a revenge towards his brother's plan to abuse his sister. And then Absalom began to plot in his own heart about overthrowing his dad. You see how evilness kind of starts multiplying, it kind of grows. Once you've started down this path that is of evil intent, it's really difficult to step outside of that. It continued on in Absalom's heart. It continued on to the point of where he now desired to overthrow his father, David. And now to make matters even worse. I mean, it's just one of those family dramas that seems like it continues on and on and on. And sometimes we think our families have problems, and our families, we have problems. But David, the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, his family had problems as well. Ahithophel was a trusted advisor of David. A trusted advisor, one that David would turn to in every circumstance and situation. And Ahithophel was there, and David would confide in him. And all along the ways, Ahithophel was plotting with Absalom to overthrow David. Do you understand now in 2 Samuel chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, the trauma that David was going through, the trauma that his family was going through? His oldest son had now molested his younger daughter. His younger daughter had been deceived and lied to and was victimized. And then the second son, Absalom, had murdered the first son, and his trusted advisor was in on the plot of the murder. And then together they decided to overthrow him. Can you see now, as we read the Psalms 55, in these first seven verses why David said, life is just getting too hard. I'd like to be a dove and fly out of here. Of course we can. You may not have had those circumstances to happen in your life and in your family, but friends, we have all experienced disappointments, difficulties, things in our own lives that are so big, so powerful, and so destructive that we can't fight it alone. Perhaps some of these things could be as something as serious as what was happening here. Perhaps it was abuse. Perhaps like Ammon had plotted. Perhaps the abuse in someone's life has been so difficult that it ruled the heart of the abuser and it brought the victim to a place of powerlessness. Abuse is often a result of pride. It says, I should have what I want. And if I can't get what I want, then I'm strong enough, and I'm big enough, and I'm mean enough, and I'm tough enough that I will take it by force. There's no room in the Christian life for you to be an abuser of another person of any sort, of any kind. But here it had happened. There is not only abuse, but there is betrayal. There was the plotting, the evil core value that Satan puts out into the hearts of those who believe that if they can continue in a lie and tell the lies and they follow through in those lies and trick the others that are around them, that perhaps no one will ever follow, will ever find out. But betrayal was real. Here it was in David's family. He had been betrayed by his son. He had been betrayed by his second son. He had been betrayed by his best advisor. All of them had made plots against him. They had manipulated the circumstances. They had manipulated truth. And they had turned it to a point of where David was in a most desperate position. There is the constant harassment that takes place. Constant harassment. Perhaps it's not as bad as the abuse or the betrayal, but the constant harassment is like the little chipping away. It happens a little bit every day, a little bit more and a little bit more. It's the constant wearing down. If you ever watch a boxing match and it's 12 rounds, you kind of would like to see the big fight, the knockouts and all the action in the first rounds, the second rounds, or the third rounds. But oftentimes in these highly promoted boxing matches, they go 12 rounds. And at the end of the 12 rounds, the one who has punched the most, chipped away at his opponent, and has beaten the opponent down, will still win the boxing match because of the small punches, the number of punches. And that's what this constant harassment is like in the life of a person who is the victim of these constant harassments. It's just beating them down. David experienced all of these things. And perhaps you have experienced some of them. But where does our hope and our strength come from to continue on? Where do we find solace and peace? Where do we find the power to pull ourselves up off the ground? Where do we find the hope that says tomorrow is another day? Where do we find the strength that says, when I am weak, I am strong? Well, David found those things in the Lord. And while Psalms 55 starts out with his prayer of, Lord, I am a man who has been in these horrible circumstances, there are some powerful passages of Scripture and verses where he cries out to the Lord and he regains his strength. He finds the way to march and soldier on. And that's what I want to talk about in the remaining part of this message. Where we find hope when we've experienced this horrible heartache or heartbreak. So the first thing that I want us to see in the remaining passages of the 55th Psalms is where we find this hope, as David did, starting out in verse number 22 and 23. It's at the very last of this chapter, but the last of the chapter summarizes the whole chapter. Verse number 22 and verse number 23 simply says this: "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down in the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust you." Number one, what do we do when we find ourselves in a place of disappointment, when we find ourselves in a place of heartbreak? Number one, trust God. Trust God whatever comes your way, for God is going to use this for His greater good. And the abuser's time is limited. When the Lord allows people to touch your life, see them as instruments in the hand of God. When the Lord allows someone to bring such a disappointment, perhaps even to a point of abuse or betrayal or harassment, look at it from the lens that God looks at it. For it is God Himself who may use the instrument of evil to accomplish the righteousness of good. In the life of a believer, in the life of one who has placed his trust in the Lord, we are not victims. We may have been victimized, but we rise victoriously. How do we rise victoriously? Through trust and hope that the Lord Himself, who is victorious, He's victorious over sin and death and the grave, and He's victorious in your life because it is the Lord who empowers you and strengthens you and brings you to a place where you can get up tomorrow, where you can walk forth with your head held high. It was David who said, "I wish I was like a dove and could fly away," but yet now he's writing and he says, "I find hope and strength in the Lord." No longer did David want to fly away. David wanted to fly to the Lord. And that's where we find this very hope of moving from one thing to another thing. Moving from that which is meant for evil, but turning to that which God intended for good. That's a constant theme throughout the Bible, by the way. When evil strikes, God says, "Do not fear." When there seems to be no hope, God says, "I can bring you hope." When there seems to be no way out, God says, "I will open a door." David was experiencing this. God had something greater in mind for David. God had something greater in mind for David's family. By the way, for as bad as it seemed, the circumstances with his children, with his top advisor, for as bad as it seemed, God had the open door for them as well. God can change their hearts. God can give them a new life. It's their choice and their decision. But as for you and I, when we are the victims of disappointment and despair and hopelessness, it is our job to trust in the Lord and to stay true to God's Word and to stay true to God and to give out God's Word. Do you know the greatest weapon that you have in your life is the Word of God? I mean, sometimes our weapon can be our own tongue. We know the feeling. You know, humanly speaking, when someone has done harm to you, when someone has brought great disappointment to you, one of the first things that we want to do is we want to speak out against them. We want to let them have it back just as hard as they gave it to us. But your greatest weapon in your life is contained right here. The greatest weapon that God uses against His enemy is His Word. And David knew that. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord's Word. And he knew that ultimately he was under God's control. Yes, those who have committed such wrongdoing needs to be confronted. For you and I may have to confront them. Sometimes it's better to have people around you that can help confront them. But don't forget, it will be God who will confront them someday. It will be God that they stand in front of. It will be the Lord Himself who will make all things right when you and I can't make anything right. Trust God, whatever comes your way. Number two, keep focused on the Lord, no matter what it costs. Listen to verse number 16 and 17 in this passage, in this prayer, as David was crying out unto the Lord. In verse number 16, he says, "As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me." This was a man of confidence. "Evening and morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." David had an unwavering focus upon the Lord. He didn't let the distractions of the world come in, and suggestions of the world, no matter how good they might be, distract him from the most important thing that he could ever do, and that was to cry out to the Lord, to call upon the Lord. And he didn't just call upon the Lord occasionally. Notice in the passage of Scripture, he says, in the morning and in the evening, David was a man committed to prayer. He knew that the Word of God and the Lord Himself could change things, but he also knew that he had an active part in God's plan. And the active part that God invites you and I to in His active plan of bringing things right is through prayer. Prayer is not just idle. It's not something that we just go through the motions. It was an engagement. It's an engagement of sinful man, hurting man, disappointed man, heartbroken man. It's an engagement between man and a holy and a righteous God. When we have no power to change things, our prayer to the Lord of heaven, to the God Almighty, the Creator of all things, hears our prayer. And on our behalf, makes things right. David felt like escaping from the enemy. But rather than escaping from the enemy, more so he was running to God. No matter what the cost was. If it cost him his kingdom, so be it. At least he was in the presence of God. If it cost him his reputation, then so be it. At least he clinged to a holy and heavenly God. When you stay focused on God, the things of Satan, the things that Satan uses to paralyze you in fear, loses their powerful grip. Do you understand that? When fear comes our way, when disappointment comes our way, we're often paralyzed, and we come to the point, sometimes we'll even say this, "I don't know what to do. I just sit here day in and day out, worrying, playing over and over in our mind the horrible thing that has happened, the disappointment that I felt, and the what ifs of tomorrow," when God says, "You're doing the wrong thing. Run to me, bring prayer to me, do it consistently and regularly in the morning and in the evening, all of the time. Bring your prayers to me, and I will hear your request, and I, only I, through your fervent prayer, have the power to change the circumstances." David knew this. It must have been hard. It must have been difficult. He was, by the way, at this time, when David was writing these Psalms, he was running a kingdom. He was the king of Israel. Do you think he was a busy man? I think he must have been a busy man. Sometimes in my day, I think, "Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy with all the things that I must get accomplished that I have very little time of pouring my heart out into the Lord." David was a busy man, but he made this his priority. How much more so should you and I take our petitions before God? Number three, completely rely upon God's strength. Verse number 9 and 10. Listen at the words of David. When he's making this prayer, he holds nothing back. And he brings exactly what he believes needs to be done before the Lord, because he understands that it's the Lord who conquers. He says in verse number 9, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. What a prayer. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on the walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Here's what was happening when he was writing this. Ahithophel and his son Absalom had determined that they must overthrow David. And they had went around to the city, they had went around to the people, and they had gathered up support. They said, you know King David? He's got some troubles in his life. You know King David? He spends too much time praying rather than ruling. And the people begin to murmur. They begin to talk. They were building up their little association of others who felt the same toward David with an evil spirit, an evil heart, that he must not be doing the things that he should be doing to rule the kingdom. Why? He spends too much time in prayer. He spends too much time with God. Let's see if maybe we can get rid of this guy. And so when David writes, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, he knew that it was only the power of God that could come in. It was only the strength of God that could come in and take those wicked hearts that was so in discord, that was so in division in the kingdom, and it was the Lord who would divide them so they had no power. You see, in much the way of an abuser or someone who is a betrayer or a harasser works, they work in the strength of trying to isolate people. And here the people were trying to isolate David, and they had done it. They had put him in a cave. They had put him away from his kingdom. But David's strength was in the Lord. Conflict and persecution can drain your strength, can't it? If you've ever went through something that was this traumatic, or even close to this traumatic, you know this one thing. It makes your mind tired. It physically, emotionally drains you. It brings you to a place where you feel like you have no strength. Sleep is disturbed. The enemy is looking for your signs of weakness, and you know that. But the prophet Isaiah, when he was writing to his people, and by the way, when he was writing to his people, he understood what David had been through. When in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31, he tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength as eagles, as the wings of an eagle. The one who flies strong and majestic. But he said, it's those who isolate themselves not with other people from other people, but isolates themselves into the presence of the Lord, for they will be strengthened. Number 4, when you're going through such a disappointment, when you're going through such a hard part of your life, number 4, recognize that you are fighting a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. David knew that the biggest war that was taking place was not the war of the people or even his own children or his top advisors. It wasn't a physical war. David knew and understood that this was a spiritual war. When he says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence in verse number 9 and strife in the city, he understood the city was under a spiritual attack as much as it was under a physical attack. Verse number 23, he says, But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust you. He understood he was in a spiritual battle, and he engages on the Lord, who is the Lord over spiritual things. People in our life might be helpful. Perhaps you have some close friends, and you need that. You need some people that you can confide in. You need some people in your life, godly people, that can help you get your mind set on the right things. You need to be in a place that has positive and vibrant things happening in and around you. But none of that is a substitute for the Lord Himself. None of that is a substitute for the spiritual power that God brings into our life. The Lord fights His battles for His own. You see, I think David knew about this spiritual battle. Do you recall back in the early days of David's life, even before he was a king? David was to go up against this giant. You remember the giant's name? Goliath, exactly. The big giant and the little David. David didn't quite know and understand at the time everything that life was going to throw at him. But David knew this one thing. That giant stood between him and the victory that his people needed to have. And when David fought the giant, against all the odds, David won the battle. But in winning the battle, David didn't say, "Wow, look at me. Look at how strong and powerful I am. I can do anything." It could have been tempting. And perhaps many around him thought David was that strong and that David was that good. But it was David's own words. It was David's own words that said, "The battle's not mine. It belongs to the Lord." He knew and understood that in the midst of that physical battle with a giant, that there was a greater spiritual battle that was taking place. And you and I, in much the same way, because that brings us to the next and the final point. Expect victory. Expect to be victorious. In verse number 18 of David's prayer, he says this: "He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me." In the midst of this fighting battle, raging war, physical and spiritual, certainly emotional, you can hear the emotion in his heart. Certainly mental, you can see the wheels turning in his mind. In the midst of that battle, the one thing that David says, "I haven't forgotten about," is the peace that God and only God can bring. And while David was experiencing the worst of the circumstances, when he was right in the midst of the battle, he knew that he was prepared because he had trusted upon the Lord. He had given his heart and his life to the will and the plan of God. He relied upon God's strength. He let God do the battle and win the battle for him. He didn't try to be the hero of the story. It was God that was the hero of the story. And in your life, don't try to be the hero of the story. Let God be the hero of your life, and let others see God through your life regardless of the circumstances. You rise up and you take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You stand in strength with the power of victory. You stand in that resurrection power that God has already defeated the death, sin, hell, and the grave. And you stand there and you too claim the victory and understand that it is God Himself who brings the victory upon His children. David knew this. And because he knew this, he faced this battle with peace in his heart. Only a believer can do that, by the way. Only a believer will be able to go into such traumatic circumstances and say, "You know, I stand here victorious in the presence of the Lord my Savior, and my trust is in Him, and whatever comes my way, it's well with my soul, it's okay." Because God is plotting out a plan and a life where I know the outcome. I know those who have betrayed me. I know those who are the enemy. I know God will deal justly with them. But as for me, I'll serve my Lord. You remember when Joshua, by the way, when David was writing this and all the things that had went on through the history of Israel. And here David is writing this, and you remember back to the days of Joshua, when Joshua had brought the people of the Hebrews to that place where they were about to cross the river, and they'd crossed the river into the promised land. And there they were, living in the righteousness and the holiness of God, but there was a battle that was taking place, and the temptation was to do away with God and to serve the gods, the idols of their forefathers. And it was Joshua who, at the end of his life, stood before the people, and he made the plea. He said, I know this is hard. He said, I know what you're going through is tempting to go back to the old life, and I know it's tempting to stay in life as it is. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your plea this morning? The enemy rages around us. The battles take place within us. Disappointments come our way. Heartache is a part of this life. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I hope that's your prayer as well this morning, for that's the only saving grace that will bring you and sustain you through the difficulties of this day, of this life. Could you stand with me for just a few moments? I'd like to ask that if these next few moments, if you would just bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to go before the Lord. Look, it's a time where perhaps you could just reflect on your own heart, your own life. Maybe you've been through some of these things, and God has brought that victory. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice that the Lord has brought victory. Rejoice that He brings peace. Perhaps you're in the midst of going through something that's pretty complicated and difficult, and only the Lord can provide the path of righteousness. And only the Lord can sustain you. If you haven't been through this in the past, or you're not going through it now, just be prepared. There's going to come a day when these things, disappointments of life, comes your way as well. And you need to be prepared as to how you're going to react and how you're going to handle this. For the Lord has given us this way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, the altar is open. If you need just a few moments to come and call upon the Lord and say, Lord, be my strength, then would you come? If you're going through some difficult circumstances, or perhaps in the past, or you're just preparing yourself, Lord, whatever the future holds, I want to prepare myself for this kind of heartache, then would you come? Just for a few minutes. The invitation is open, and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. David was a man of prayer, called upon the Lord, and the Lord sustained him. He will in your life too. Father, as we come to you, we thank you, Lord, for the way that it is you who brings victory. For you indeed, Lord, are the one who has justice and mercy, and your righteousness, for it prevails. Those who oppose us, those who are against you, the disappointments that come our way, Lord, they don't outweigh the blessings of being in your perfect will. I pray for my brothers and sisters here that it would be you that brings peace to their life and their heart. Whatever they may face, Lord, may they face it in the spirit and truth of your wonderful word and your promise. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just a few announcements that we'd like to share with you. A few announcements, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Josh.
Thank you for the message this morning. It's a good reminder, isn't it, that we need that peace in our life that only God can give. So it was really encouraging for me. I hope it was encouraging for you as well. This morning, if you got your bulletins, open it up to the second page on the inside. And you see there on the top, we got our Israel trip coming up at the end of September, I believe it is, around there. For all those signed up, going to the Israel trip, there'll be a brief meeting today After the second service. So at 12:30, if you are going to the Israel trip, please stay around at 12:30, and it'll just be in the back. And it says, please bring passports and ticket information. So I'm guessing there's still a meeting with Ms. It's still going ahead. So meeting will still be here at 12:30 in the back. So you do have time, I guess, to go home and get your passports by 12:30 and ticket information. Next one is senior citizen outing. We got the Auckland Mandolin Orchestra concert, and that's today. So if you'd like to go to that, you're leaving here at IBC at 1:30, and you'll be arriving later on in the afternoon. So, and it's $10 entry fee, which covers, you know, the outing to go see the Mandolin Orchestra, which is going to be pretty cool. You got the women's conference coming up, and it's called Living the Kindred Spirit. And we actually have a special guest speaker coming over from the States, from North Carolina. She's a lady who was from our home church that we grew up with and were really good friends with. She's coming over to do a bunch of different things as well, but she's coming over especially to talk with the ladies as well. She'll be coming over to do some drama, workshops, how to dramatize for children in ministry, how to work with teens in drama in ministry. But she is very, very talented and very gifted in many things. And she's going to be with us all the way from mid-July till missions conference up in August as well. So I hope if she has things going on that you'll actually be able to attend, like this ladies' conference. It will be really, really neat getting to hear her. So if you haven't heard a real Southern accent before, you might want to come along. It'd be quite interesting. So if you have any more information about the ladies' conference, please see Miss Gina, my mom, about that. And please sign up now. Next, we got couples retreat, the married couples retreat. So not just coupled, but married couples retreat. And that's going to be, again, in Papamoa, Thursday the 7th of November, all the way to Saturday the 9th. Okay, so please, if you can, go ahead and put those dates in your schedule. Mark that down. If you're keen to go now, please let us know now if you're ready to go or if you're able to. And we'll have sign-ups ready to go really soon. So it's a really, really good time. I know it'll be a great time for the couples. It's always a refreshing time, and it's always a good, just encouraging time to be around other couples who are like-minded, getting the same message, the same word of God and everything. So I pray that you'll come along to that. Our missionaries that we're praying for today is Michael and Beatrice Kaburu in Kenya. We've actually been supporting them since 1992, which is a long time, which is pretty amazing that this church has been able to stay faithful to those missionaries. So continue to pray for them throughout the week as well, during your daily devotions and your prayer time. And do we have any birthdays this week or anniversaries? There is one that I know of. And do we have anybody that's coming up for birthdays? Liz. Okay, I know it's your birthday this coming week. Sorry. Come on down. Anybody else? Any anniversaries? No? No anniversaries? No other birthdays? All right, lucky special one. Oh, we got a late one. Birthday. Monday. Oh, wow. Okay. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? All right. Let's all stand. We'll sing happy birthday and we'll finish off in prayer. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you both. God bless you. Hey, Sunday school coming up at 10 o'clock, so spend a bit of time with some teas and coffees, greeting one another. Be back into your place at 10 o'clock for the Sunday school time. Let's be dismissed in prayer, and then we'll get right into our tea time. Father, we thank you again for your love and care for us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts through your word this morning. May you have your way in our lives and all that we do this week. May we glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.